That's Tupac Shakur's 1995 number one single, California Love. Shakur is part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2017, and he's only the sixth hip-hop star to get the nod from the Hall of Fame. Many fans and critics say it's about time, and in fact, there's been a surge of interest in the earliest days of hip-hop and its enormous influence on popular music and culture. Ben Westhoff is author of Original Gangstas, The Untold Story of Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, Tupac Shakur, and the Birth of West Coast Rap. And he joins us from KWMU in St. Louis. Hi there, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, explain to me why you've written that Tupac Shakur deserves to be mentioned in the same breath as Elvis Presley, The Beatles, Bob Dylan, Madonna, and Michael Jackson.
I don't think it's overstatement to say that Tupac is the most important rapper ever. He's not necessarily the best rapper. You might think of someone like Biggie Smalls, his arch rival, but his contributions include the message that he brought of social empowerment, anti-police brutality, and he really lifted a lot of people. And 20 years after his death, he's still as popular as any rapper working.
Hmm. Well, Tupac joins several other hip-hop groups and individuals who have already been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, including N.W.A., Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Run-DMC, Beastie Boys, Public Enemy. I mean, is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame the right place for them? Or hip-hop being the massive movement and cultural force that it is, should their honorees go someplace else?
I do think hip-hop needs to have its own really viable Hall of Fame. But in the meantime, I think that rappers do belong in the Hall of Fame for rock and roll just because, you know, and Ice Cube put this well last year when N.W.A. was inducted, that rock and roll is kind of a spirit almost more than anything. And that same spirit, kind of the anti-authority, you know, the kids expressing themselves in a musical way that has a populist element, that is really carried on with hip-hop.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the ground that your book covers, and that's sort of the origin and the earliest days of West Coast rap, because obviously the East Coast and New York hip-hop and rap had been going on, but conditions, social conditions in the West Coast weren't all that different, but they were also unique in a certain way, because we have the crack epidemic, the gangs in Los Angeles and L.A. County. There's major headlining events like the beating of Rodney King, the O.J. trial, just a lot of stuff going on in Los Angeles at the time that this music was really taking hold. Talk about the importance of that.
Definitely. I think at the time, New York was the epicenter of the hip-hop world. And when L.A. started making music, they were so looked down upon that to some people it was like it may as well have been the South. It was so out of their orbit. But the conditions on the ground in L.A., all the things you talked about, really led the rappers to rap about a whole different new subject matter. And the way they told it, you know, we call them gangster rappers now, but they thought of themselves as reality rappers. And people like Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, they thought of themselves as kind of street reporters who were telling it like it really was.
Mm. Well, let's listen to a little bit of the music. This is from N.W.A. It's a clip from their song Gangsta Gangsta. And I'm in it. My man Trey knock you out in a minute with the right, left, you're toothless. And then you say, damn, they ruthless. We make you say it again. And W.A.'s messing up the program. And then you realize we don't care. We don't just say no, we're too busy saying yeah. About drinking straight out the eight bottle. So, Ben, in your book, you write that gangster rap, West Coast rap, was this Trojan horse, that's what you called it, of catchy beats and clever rhymes that served as an art form, in your words, that made black life a permanent part of the American conversation. Now, how did it exactly do that?
I think for music to succeed, any kind of music, the lyrics are kind of secondary. And what really gets people to like music is the beat. And so in the case of someone like Dr. Dre, who is the producer of a lot of this music, his beats are so mesmerizing that he was able to kind of sneak in some of these messages to places that they might not normally hear them, you know, like dance floors. And Ice Cube was the more political member of N.W.A., and he wrote songs like F the Police, mm-hmm. primarily. And, you know, he was able to get that message onto dance floors because of these amazing beats.
So can we talk about that song for a second? There's really no part of it that we can play on the radio right now. But that song, F the Police, is full of this explosive anger about how they believe the police saw them. I think that was one of the things that I responded to most powerfully. When I heard the song, it was like, wow, that was a point of view that we just hadn't heard in music before.
Yeah, it was a totally subversive kind of thing, and there wasn't a lot of precedent. I mean, in the 80s at the time, you had a lot of popular black entertainers like Michael Jackson and Prince, but this sort of really strident message was not something that you heard on the radio. And I think that's NWA's great legacy, is they opened up for other rappers and artists of all types to be able to say what was really on their mind.
Mm. Well, let's hear a little bit more of the music of the era. This is NWA again, and you had mentioned it before, but it's one of their most famous songs, possibly their most famous song, Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton is a crazy brother named Ice Cube from the stupid dope gang with an attitude. When I'm caught off, I got a sawed off. Kick knowledge and bodies are hauled off. You too, boy, if you get with me, the police are gonna have to come and get me. Off your back, that's how I'm going out.
So Ben, let me ask you, I mean, we've talked about how Tupac, NWA, and other groups and hip-hop artists like them were sort of, they were truth tellers about the African-American experience, the black experience in Los Angeles at the time. But on the other hand, at the same time, they were, you know, they were glorifying violence. They were glorifying misogyny. Those are the things that made them very controversial. Talk about that for a moment. I mean, is that still a problem?
Yeah, absolutely. These are things that fans of the music really have to reconcile. In my reporting for Original Gangsters, I found that Dr. Dre, who'd already been accused of beating three other women, also beat the mother of three of his children in the mid-80s, and she accused him also while she was pregnant.
Hmm. And what about sort of the other concern that many people have voiced over a generation or two now about the culture of violence that seems to be celebrated in the music, and a lot of people saying, look, as good as it might be, we shouldn't be, you know, elevating or venerating pop artists who are sort of saying it's okay for folks to be singing about the police in the way they did.
This was the kind of thing that in the 80s when NWA came out was all the media was talking about.
Yeah.
But I think nowadays the odd thing is that gangster rap kind of won, and that you don't really have these sort of serious music critics who question whether rappers have the right to be talking about these subjects, because I think it's become sort of a legitimized form of protest music, for better or worse.
Hmm. Well, let's listen to how the music has evolved, how we hear that protest in modern day hip hop, because we've got a clip here from Kendrick Lamar, of course, huge and popular hip hop artist right now. This is a clip from his song Hood Politics off his 2015 album To Pimp a Butterfly.
His name's on paper, you snitched all summer. Streets don't feel me now. They tell me it's a new gang in town. From Compton to Congress, set tripping all around. Ain't nothing new but a fluid new Democrats and red blood against red state versus a blue state. Which one you governing?
So Kendrick Lamar has been fearless in being political in his music. But do you see modern hip hop, the hip hop of 2017, being as politically inspired as the gangster rap of the 80s and 90s was?
I think in some ways, yeah, it does have a strong political message, and I think a lot of that was inspired by NWA and people like Ice Cube and Tupac. I think if you look at Kendrick, if you look at people like YG, there have been a lot of rappers like Killer Mike from Run the Jewels and people like Young Jeezy who have really made their voices heard.
Hmm. Well, that's Ben Westhoff, author of Original Gangsters, The Untold Story of Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, Tupac Shakur, and the Birth of West Coast Rap. Ben, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
This is Here and Now.
Jacking a craft is like burglary. The definition is jacking. But when a leader